Okay, good morning, everyone. My name is Leanna Ambersley. I'm the pension administrator for the city of New Haven. We also have a few other committee members present. We have Michael Gormany, Thomas Lamb, and Hycliffe Williams. I'd also like to introduce Taylor Cannon and Fan Robinson. They also work in the pension department as payroll benefit auditors. And Jessica, as you all, I believe, know, is the payroll supervisor for the city. And then we have Wendy and Derek, both from Raymond James, who handle the financial side of the fund. I'm actually going to relay it off to Derek to kind of give like a little background and then go into the financial report as well.
Okay, great. Thanks, Leanna. I'm going to ping off of Jessica as well, because she has more history with this fund than I do. And you know, it's been a lot of years here. And so, you know, obviously Hycliffe and I have had conversations over the last year or so. I know she's been getting a lot of questions from her members. And I thought it made sense, in chatting with Leanna earlier, it made sense to kind of fill everybody in who doesn't know the history of this fund, how it came about, and, you know, what we all do here, and, you know, kind of how we a little bit got off the regimented quarterly meetings that we were having. So, you know, obviously, if you have any questions, jump in or interrupt, I'm fine with that. But in essence, this is a money purchase plan that's for the paraprofessionals. And what a money purchase plan is, it's kind of, a lot of folks ask, you know, is it like SERF for police and fire pension, which it is not. It's not a pension. And it's more similar to the 403Bs that you have in school. But the difference is that it's a pool of assets that is, you know, managed by committee, which you all are part of the committee, rather than individual account balances. So a lot of the folks in the school system have 403Bs or 401As, which are individualized, where you get your statement and you could go on and pick your investment choices and so on and so forth. The Board of Ed, this is, I believe, a supplemental plan. And it was with Bank of America for many, many years. I think back to 1991 is when it was started.
96.
Thanks, Jessica. So 1996. And the way it operated was, there is a percentage of the members' pay that goes into this. So it's the contributions. I believe it's either 2 or 3%, just 2%. And it is also a match by the Board of Ed. And from 1996 all the way up until, you know, we were hired by RFP, which was, I believe, in 2014, I believe, 16, somewhere in that ballpark, somewhere between there, I believe. It was with Bank of America, and it was in a short-term government fund, which was basically treasury bills, earning little to no money at all. At the time, there was an RFP. So at the time, Leanna, Jerry Sagnello was the pension administrator at the time. Jessica was always in that office as well. Will Clark was the COO for the Board of Ed. It was Daryl Jones was the controller. And then at the time, there was Claudine and Earl were the representatives from the Para Fund. Put together a board of trustees. We were hired. We discussed adding some investments to get better returns for the members back then. And it was done in a very judicious fashion. It was very, very slow and methodical. So you have to remember, your fund was invested in the most safe investment vehicle, which is treasury bonds. But it was not even getting a 1% or right around 1% rate of return for your money. So your money was going in, and it was matched by the board, but it was not growing at all, really. Quite honestly, you could say that, safely losing money with the effective inflation. So the board over time said, like, let's take a piece of that money. Let's keep half of the funds safely invested, and let's invest the other half over time. And it was done very methodically in pieces. So it was not done quickly. It was not done sporadically. It was just very slowly invest, get some of those funds invested to get some growth to the members. And we met every quarter, and we discussed the markets, and we discussed the investments, and we looked at the performance. And that fund was around $3 million at the time. It is now almost $8.6 million as of yesterday. So there's been some very large, substantial growth earned on that money for all of your paraprofessionals. So that's been a huge success. What has not been a success are a few things. One, obviously, COVID happened. There's been a change of leadership at the board, a change of leadership at the unions, which happens. But then obviously COVID derailed our quarterly meetings. So, you know, in speaking to Hyclis, Jessica, you've been very integral in like keeping the members abreast. And Leanna's obviously on top of these things. We're trying to get this back going again to quarterly meetings. And just for Hyclis, for you and your members, one of the things I mentioned to you on the phone is periodically, sometimes about twice a year, I would come, Wendy and I would come to your union meetings and talk to your members. Happy to do that again, just to kind of give everybody a, you know, answer questions. And it was a lot, it was a small group usually, but I was usually able to answer a lot of the questions because there's a lot of misconception out there about what it is and why things are the way they are. One of the major pains that we've been feeling was, you know, Jessica can obviously talk to this at more length than I can, but there, so we manage the investments. So we have a pool of assets that are just the investments. We don't know who the assets belong to. We don't have any of the paraprofessionals' names, dates of birth, or anything like that. There's a record keeper named Ascensus. So Ascensus has been the record keeper since this fund's inception. And what happens with a census once a year, usually in the summer, you know, so fiscal year is June 30 for the city. So sometime in July, August, a census basically stops all inflows and outflows from the fund so they can prepare statements and they could say, okay, Mrs. Smith has X percentage of that $8.5 million. Hyclis Williams has this percentage. Tammy Jones has this percentage. And that usually takes about 30 to 45 days usually. And let me also say what a census needs to do that is basically statements from us that says, okay, this is the beginning value of the fund. This is the end value of the fund. And they have the rest of the information to do whatever's needed. Working with a census, Hyclis, you and I have had this conversation. Jessica's very well aware of this. It's been sporadic at best. Over the tenure that we've been working with Ascensus, there has been a number of professionals at Ascensus that have changed hands. So we'd get somebody, you know, I remember Sue Timblin was the name of one, just comes to the top of my head. She was on top of things, knew what she was doing. They all have access to our statements. They know what they need. They generate the statements and then send those statements out to all of your members, Hyclis. So your members all get statements once a year. That person has changed several times. And when you're working with someone new, it's kind of, you don't know who you're working with or what you're getting. So I'm not going to sit here and say that a census doesn't know what they're doing. I just think that the change of personnel at Ascensus has been troubling. I had no idea that Ascensus didn't have what they needed until Hyclis, you reached out to me a few weeks ago and, you know, where are statements? People don't know what's going on. You know, Jessica's reached out quite a bit because there's been members coming to her office saying, hey, where's my money? And I think when folks don't get their money or are told that they can't get at their money, there's a lot of things, you know, obviously anybody's mind can run away with them. So I understand that. And Hyclis, you and I have chatted about let's get things right. So we have been, you've seen the exchange of emails with me and Ascensus have been less than nice. And at times I tried to stay away from that, but I just couldn't with this instance. So it's my understanding, Jessica, I saw we had a distribution come out. Are we square with them?
We are finally starting to process them, thankfully.
Okay, good. So that means statements should be in the mail, Hyclis.
Statements have been received because people are already calling me about them.
Okay, that's good news.
We finally got the statements this week after back and forth because she thought that Jessica was sending the statements out.
Okay.
No. And so, you know, I had a little back and forth email with her to get them out. So she finally sent them out last week and I got mine on Saturday. Some people are, you know, getting theirs trickling in. One person told me this month that they never received theirs. So,
okay. on those one-off situations, Heiko, so you can certainly reach out to me and I could circle back with, you know, I want to try to make this as easy for Jessica and you, Heiko, and Leanna as possible. So, you know, there's certain things I can and can't do, but when it comes to dealing with a census, I'm happy to, you know, get in the weeds with that one. So that's kind of the history of where we are and kind of how we got to where we are. The great news is that the fund has grown very, very well. There's been huge success in the growth of the fund, and it's been done with very, very little risk. And I have reports and charts and everything that we can go over, but I just wanted to kind of give everybody a background of, you know, how we've established this fund and where it's come from, and certainly answer any questions if anybody has any from here, as far as anything in that regard. Does anybody have any questions?
So one of the questions that was posed to me from one member, there's not a contact person on the statement. So if there's, they said if there's an error on the statement, then you should contact the administrator, but the contact person or number or anything is not there. So this person, one person in particular, said that they had a an exit date on their report.
I heard that yesterday, that somebody says a termination date is listed. And I looked it up, and they're not terminated. They've been active all along. And it was the person that I looked up, their last name, when I looked up that last name, there was someone else right before them with the same last name that had the same termination date. So I emailed Amy Lynn yesterday, and she said she's going to correct it, mail out a new statement. But I don't think that I just happened to find two of them of the hundreds of people there. I'm sure there's a lot of them that have that. I don't know why, where it's coming from. And she didn't know either. She said, our files don't show any termination dates.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is going to be an issue.
Okay. That I that is over my pay grade. So I don't know. So Jess, what did Amy Lynn say? I mean,
it was it was just yesterday, late yesterday, and I didn't even finish reading her emails, but she did say that it does look like a mistake. We did not send any files that had a termination date listed, and she was going to look into it and resend the statement out to that person. But I want to email her back and tell her, you need to look through everybody because, I mean, I'm sure there's people that legitimately have termination dates, but why would these two people that are both active employees have the same termination date?
Oh, both were active. I thought one was terminated and one was not.
Okay. No, they're both active and they have the same exact termination date.
So let's see what she comes back with. And certainly I'll put it on my list of things to follow up with Jessica and the census on. So that's, thank you, Heiko, for that.
One of the other big thing for some people is that they will, they leave from being a parent to being a teacher, and then their money is still tied up. And as far as I understand the contract or the plan was strictly for members of 3429. So if they leave 3429, their money should leave with them because it's not a pension. It's not something that you have to wait until you're retiring for. So why aren't they getting their monies and they sit there for years? And one person had said that they were losing money in the interim. So I don't know if that's a fact, but that's what's happening. When you leave 3429, you should get your money because it's strictly for 3429 members. So I don't know what, there's been a lot of people for a lot of years.
As far as I understand, the whole time the plan has been written, and it was written, never changed, the language in it was that they cannot access the funds until they have separated service. So even if they go and work for as a part-timer or as a new job as a teacher, they're still actively our employee, and we cannot fill out the paperwork saying that they've separated service. If the plan is changed or the paperwork is changed, then that would probably be fine. But as I understand it all along, it's always been that way. And we do, you're absolutely right. We have several teachers that call me all the time that want that money. And I understand them, but there's really nothing that I can do unless the plan language has changed.
So has the
plan document ever been updated? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Jessica, I assume that's in the plan document when this fund was established. So has that plan document ever been updated or no?
I don't believe it has.
Michael, I don't believe it has either. I think that last time we asked a question like this, this same question came up some meetings ago, and I believe the response was it was something between union negotiations and the Board of Ed is what would require a change.
So let me just ask you, Derek, with this type of plan, the paperwork that we get from a census, it does say on there date of separation from service. So is this type of plan something that they, if we change the language, we could do this and they can access absolutely. It earlier?
Yeah, that would be considered a qualifying event. Yep.
So I think, yeah, that's why I asked about the plan document, because the plan document along with the union contract is what governs the plan. So in order for, I get what you're saying, Highquist, but if the plan document just specifies termination, it's termination from the city as a, or Board of Ed as a whole, not just moving from one position to the other. So I think as this committee, if that's something that the committee wants to take a look at and look at the plan document language to change to say, if you're not in 3429 anymore or whatever the case is, that's what we would have to do.
I think we'll definitely need to work on it, because I think if my memory serves me right, the contract states members of 3429.
That's what the contract says. They can contribute. I think it says they can contribute. Members of 3429 can contribute, and that is correct.
It just says all employees will make 2% contribution into the defined contribution plan effective July 1st, 1996. It doesn't say any language about if you leave or changing jobs, or I mean, if you change jobs or anything like that. it specifies the contribution piece. But again, I mean, I get what you're saying, Highquist, and you know, that's a very valid point if you're not in 3429 anymore. So I think it's something the committee can certainly look into.
Okay, we need to do that quickly, because a lot of people has moved on, and we need to, you know, let them have their share. And then one of the other things, a lot of people don't like this plan because it's not individualized. And maybe we could work on individualizing it, making it maybe a 403B, a strictly 403B, where people can have access to their to who is they invest their monies with, or you know, withdraw if they want to withdraw if they have situations and stuff like that.
So I can speak partly to that question, Highquist. You and I chatted about that. And again, this also came up initially with your predecessor, who was new to the table as well and didn't really understand the dynamic of the plan. And what ultimately was derived is that this plan was established by the Board of Ed. And in order to change the plan, I think that was also union negotiation with the board. I think that was one of the things, but mind you, all your participants have the same access to the monies as if it were with a 403B or 401A. You know, basically there's only a few ways you could get your money out: separation from service, you know, from this Board of Ed and or city. You know, then they have like hardship provisions and any qualifying event. The IRS defines a qualifying event. So all of those things do apply here. The only time there's one, call it blackout period, and usually it's not in October and it's not July to October. It's usually a period of time, like I mentioned earlier in the meeting, it's usually July, August. There's a window where people can't access their money because the valuation of the plan is happening for statements. But other than that, everybody has access to their money. One of the things that I think we talked about a bit ago, a few meetings ago, that I think was a good idea and we never acted on, was getting statements, you know, getting valuations more frequently from a census. I think that would certainly help your members feel more comfortable. Right now it's once a year, and that's why it takes, you know, a month. It's once a year they get a statement. I think if we went to semi-annual or quarterly statements, quarterly valuations, all your members, Highquist, will get their statements four times a year, and it seems more individualized and more normalized. I think that is, you know, something we can ask the census to do. I don't know if you folks are on board with something like that in the meantime, but
can I ask you, are we going to have to do our contributions part and the board's contributions parts quarterly?
No, I don't think I don't think contributions grown. Right. I don't think, yeah, exactly. I think it's just, you know, beginning value, end value, regardless of when the money goes in. So if the money goes in once a year, Jess, it, you know, that would just reflect the highest percentage increase.
Just, you know, just so the members understand that when they don't, you know, if it's only growing by a little bit and they've put in, you know, a lot more than that during that quarter, they understand that it's not what they've put in and what the board puts in for that year is not going to be done until once a year in the summer.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it still would show, you know, performance. And, you know, again, you know, I think there's so many members and I think the balances are so, there's so many, you know, $8.5 million is a lot of money, but there's a lot of members there. So everybody's balances are, you know, a lot smaller. So I think that would, I don't think the change would be, huge either way. Do you know what I mean?
Right. What I'm saying is like, say for some reason that lost a little bit of money that quarter. And what we, our portion that the employee has deducted out of their check that quarter and the part that the board puts in, when they don't see that increasing by at least that amount, if it's losing money, they might say, wait a minute, why is this, I'm putting money in every paycheck. Why is this losing money? Or why is it only going up by a little bit?
So how often does the members' monies, their paychecks participation doesn't go in, it only goes in once a year?
Right. We send you the checks. You put the money and you invest it every paycheck.
Right.
But the totals and the board's portion is only done once a year.
Gotcha.
Oh.
And that's what a census does and posts the yearly things and what takes so long for them to do now. So I just think if we go to quarterly or semi-yearly statements, that the members just have to understand that it's only going to show what the fund either grows or loses. It's not going to show what they put in until the once a year,
right?
As long as they understand that, because I can hear the phone calls already.
Yeah. Well, if you think that's problematic, Jess, you know, I'll yield to that.
Yeah,
but I think it would be
more problematic if that happens.
Okay, so Heiklitz.
But just to clarify, are you saying that if a person needs to withdraw money, they can do that? Is that what you were saying, Derek?
Well, there needs to be a qualifying event, Heiklitz. So it has to be separation from service, you know, termination, separate from, you know, they retire, they leave the city. Now, you know, Mike, it looks like you had the plan document. Is it separation from the board or separation from the city? Do you see that?
Oh, I don't have the plan document. I was just going to
say. Yeah, as far as I understand, it's just separation from service.
Yeah, that has always been my understanding too, is separation of service. My point was, if we're going to do something, we need to look at the plan document itself. Who has the plan document?
So there's law firm, Reed and Reege is the lawyer that was hired. You know, again, they've been with the fund since, I believe, 96. I don't know how they came to the table, but
I have a copy of it somewhere.
Yeah, I think there's also a copy here in the office. But yeah, I was going to say, it's, if we're moving to change the plan document, we would have to get the law firm involved. And I'm sure it would take time and money to do that. It's not something that would be something quickly done.
Right.
So Heiklitz, you know, again, I think education is a big component of this. And I think that was one of the things why we were brought to the table back in a few years ago. You know, Wendy and I are happy to come to, are you doing in-person union meetings or not?
Not yet. We're going to have a meeting the first Wednesday in December. And then we're going to decide if we're going to start doing hybrid or
I'll copy you.
In person. Right now we're doing virtual still.
Okay. This is, you know, obviously we're happy to come on and, you know, answer questions and field questions and, you know, whatever we can do to make your job easier and get the message out to your members easier, happy to oblige. So.
Okay.
I'll follow your lead on that.
Yeah, so I was thinking to do it in January after this December one. I wanted to, you know, you've come several times, people still, you know, although they kind of understand this, just don't like the idea that they cannot access their money if they have a situation. But I'm just learning that now. If you had said it before, I didn't understand that people can actually withdraw it for if they have circumstances that qualify. I just never understood that aspect of it, because somebody did share with me that they know somebody who had withdrawn, and I said, oh, it's impossible, because they said it's only if you separate that you can ever touch that money. So it's good to know that if people have extenuating circumstances, that they can withdraw it or portion of it. Is it only a portion of it or the whole thing?
So there's the IRS rules. I mean, I would imagine govern this plan. I don't know for sure, but I'm speaking kind of, from knowledge, that basically a qualifying event is defined by the IRS. I remember when we first started working with your members, Hyquist, folks had asked about, the IRS defines certain qualifying events. I don't think that they're all of IRS's qualifying events would offer the ability to access funds. I believe it's only if they separate from service. Jess, do you have any insight?
I don't think there was even the hardship.
Yeah, I don't think there's hardships. Yeah, I don't think
so. I don't think there was any other provisions that they can get it if they have any kind of event except for separation of service.
Okay. So then Hyquist, then it's only if they leave, then I apologize. So again, that's something that could be, per Mike's point, when we talk to Reed and Reed, if the committee wants to, amend that, I would imagine, right? I don't know. I don't want to speak out of context here.
Yeah, I think
I think a review of that, revising that contract would be essential, because some people just don't, majority of people don't like this plan.
Yeah, Derek, I think it's going to be looking at the plan document and going through the IRS regulations, because obviously they've changed since 96. And if this plan document hasn't been updated since then, but a lot of the IRS regulations regarding 403Bs, 457, just other defined contribution plans have changed regarding withdrawals.
Right.
So that definitely should be looked at and updated.
So Leanna, do you want to, as the pension administrator, do you want to reach out to Reed and Reed, and do you have that contact, and just kind of say, hey, what do we need to, maybe have them here at the next meeting, or at least start the dialogue, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I will. I don't have a contact for them, but I will try to see if I can. I mean, I can look them up and figure out. I don't know who specifically they dealt with, but like the specific person. But I will look into that.
Okay. And if you need help with that, I can assist as well. Hyquist, did you have any other questions, comments? And then I'd like to talk to just show you the fund and kind of performance and whatnot.
Okay. So yes, I did need to find out also, because I'm looking at my own statement here, and there are fees that are involved. And for me, for my personal one, it was $82 that was taken out. And what are those? What is the fee for?
That's a good question. By plan document, all fees are supposed to be paid by Board of Ed on this plan. So I don't know how that's done. I don't know if, I'm not really sure why a participant would be paying a fee, but there should not be a fee. That I remember that all administrative expenses were paid by the board on this. I think we lost.
Sorry, I'm just looking at her statement.
Okay. And then what was the other thing? It just went out of my head. So then I want to understand also, half of this was supposed to be the invested part, and the other half was supposed to be sitting in an account. But the statement, I don't think I'm understanding that reflection. What I'm looking at seems to be the, one half and not the other half.
Okay. Well, on the bottom, the source of money, one of them's money purchased and the other one's employee after tax.
Uh-huh.
So that's the two different amounts.
Yeah, I can't speak with any authority because I've never even seen a statement. You know, they don't. Okay. I don't know what they look like.
But this seems to me like a small, you know, just I'm how many years of service I have? 2007. I have to check again, count my years of service. 10, 14 years, right? 14 years. I could say my statement. I don't, it doesn't matter. 14 years and I have 16,595.44 after 14 years.
Yeah, so one of the questions that came up, Hyklus, was, you know, how much money is going in? And from what a lot of people were frustrated about is you cannot put more than 2% of your pay into the plan. So this is only 2% of your payroll going in over time. So, I mean, I know it's a long time, but it's been 2%. And I believe it's, you know, the 2% match from the board. So ultimately 4% of your pay per year or per pay cycle is going in. So, you know, I don't know. And so you started in what year, Hyklus?
Jessica, could you show everybody my statement? Just the numbers.
I am not good enough at Zoom to share my screen, but okay. Wait. Hold on. Yes, I can. Hold on. Let me see.
It's just the numbers. I don't want to show every detail. Just the
numbers. Hold on. Where is it? Hold on.
So because I'm looking at it and it's showing, you know, the money market, money purchase plan is almost the same as the employee after tax amount. It's just, and as a matter of fact, the employee after tax is like almost $100, not even $100 more than the money purchase plan. So it's just doesn't seem like so much of a gain. When I put it almost, you know, you could say I average out paying in $1,000 each year. So if right. Each year of my 14 years, let's say average it out, it's $1,000 a year for 14 years is $14,000. So I'm only having $2,000 increase on my 14 years of payment.
Right. But I mean, I can't speak to those numbers because I don't know them, but.
Here it is. Okay. Can you see that?
Yeah. I do know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is her statement. She did start. 1029.
I didn't want to show everything, Jessica. I said, just show the numbers.
Yeah, that's the number.
Don't worry, Hyklus. We're not looking at the date of birth, Hyklus, I promise.
Oh, sorry, Hyklus. I'm sorry, Hyklus.
Don't worry, I didn't look, I promise. So what I think looks good right here, Hyklus, if you look at the beginning balance of 13.5. Mm-hmm. And your end balance is 16.5. Changes period is $3,000. That's in 1 year.
Say that again.
So the beginning balance was 13.5. The ending balance was 16.5. So the changes period, meaning this 1 year, is $3,000. So you earned $3,000 in 1 year. So that's excellent.
That would be great if that's the case. But what happened to the other years? It's 13 years. So in 13, so just to take a look at if you want to look at it this way, for 13 years, I only had $13,000.
Right. So it was $1,177 as you can see, so the money purchase plan, it shows the employee contribution is $589. And the Board of Ed's contribution was $589. So it's a 2% of your pay went in. And there was a 2% match by the board. And you can see the investment gain on both tranches of money was $978 and $984. So it was about almost $2,000 of investment gains. So that got you to that 16.6 roughly.
So I'm not seeing a difference between what the board the two halves, you know, they're practically the same, although one is supposed to be invested and the other half is supposed to be just sitting in a low interest rate account.
Yeah, no. So think of it this way, Hyklus. All of your money is in the same account. So that's all of your members' monies are sitting in one big account that we manage collectively. And of that large account, so all, every pay cycle, your money's going into that account, both from the Board of Ed and from your paycheck. And what's happening is that's then being sliced and diced into the investment pool, of which that investment pool, roughly half of it, a little less than half of it, is in a save, you know, safe investment, and the other half is invested. And we can talk about that. I'll show you graphically on our performance report how that looks. So it's not that like half your payment is being directed on the statement. It's not reflected that way. It's just, hey, this is the inflows, the growth, and the outflow. So the statement just summarizes it. Does that make more sense? So it's not like the board's money is going to get invested and your money is going into, you know, your, I mean, you could think of it that way, but it's not, you won't see that on this statement, I guess is my point.
So I think the statement should reflect the money that's gaining and the money that's not gaining. So we could see the difference of not investing or.
Well, all the money is gaining. So that's the point. You see,
that's where
you see
that 1962 is coming from, the gain.
You see, the gain is 978 and 984 on the two tranches of money.
Uh-huh. You know?
So that's the growth, the overall growth of all the money that's put in. And of that 1962, I'll show you in the performance. Why don't we, hey, Lee, can you pull up the investment report?
Yep. Jess, I think you have to stop sharing.
Okay, hold on.
I think, Heikos, I think this will put it better in perspective for you. I'm a visual person myself, so maybe if I could show it to you, I could do a better job of explaining it. So if you could go to, so page three, I believe. Or maybe two. Yeah, right here. So you see this money up on top, Heikos, that graph up on the upper left?
Mm-hmm.
So every dollar that goes into this plan and all existing dollars, so all your participants, old money, you know, money that were put in over the years, as mm-hmm. well as the dollars that come out of your payroll, as well as the dollars that are contributed by the Board of Ed, all mm-hmm. go into this pool of money. And as you can see, about 48% of the fund is in cash or short-term fixed income. That's the orange. So that's the half that we're talking about. The mm-hmm. other half of that pie chart, the light blue, the green, the fuchsia, that's the investment piece. Mm-hmm. So you can see, you know, 28.7% are in U.S. equities, which are domestic, you know, United States stocks. So there's roughly 36% of the overall pool is invested in stock. And you can see how it's comprised. So it's only 36% stock. It's 29% U.S. stock, some non-U.S. stock, 4%, some real estate, some alternative investments, just under 2%. So you can see how that, so every dollar inflow and outflow into the fund is invested into this pool.
Mm-hmm.
So you could think of it that way, that all money's run here. So when we talk about the half that's not invested or is safely invested, mm-hmm. you know, you could say for every dollar that you put in, Heikos, out of your paycheck, and every dollar that the city matches or the Board of Ed matches, roughly 48 cents of that is going to, you know, that safe investment, mm-hmm. and about, you know, 36% or what have you is going into the investment pool. Does that make sense? Does that make better sense?
36 doesn't make 100.
Well, yeah, but then there's the two. So it's 38 plus the cash. So
plus the what?
So there's cash short term. You see 14% cash and cash alternatives and 48% fixed income and then 36% equities and just under 2% of alternatives. So if you add, you know, 14, 47, 35, and 2, that equals 100. So the safe money is actually overwhelming. I mean, it's like 62% safe money, if you will.
So 62% is safe.
Yeah, 63% roughly.
And the 36 is the stock.
It's actually like 38, because if you include the alternatives, it's the 36 plus the 2, that 1.6 at the bottom there.
It's still a little percentage off, but
the exact numbers are on that pie chart, on that top number if you want to look at that for the exact percentages.
14, 11, 2. Okay, I see that. Okay. Okay.
Hey, Lee, can you go to the next page? I keep going. One more. I'll keep going. I'm sorry. And we'll go over this if you'd like. I just wanted to highlight a couple of things here. So this is, I just want to show you, Heiklis, this yellow star, this is the way we look at return and risk. You know, so one of the things that Claudine and Earl were talking about in the board prior was we don't want to risk your members' money. Mm-hmm. And so we want to make some money, obviously more than what it was making. It was only making, you know, 1 or 2% per year for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. But we want to try to get some return for the money, but we mm-hmm. don't want to take on an extraordinary amount of risk. These mm-hmm. numbers I've never seen. I've been doing this for 17 years. I've never seen this amount of return with such little risk. You see that 5.4 is annualized mm-hmm. risk. Mm-hmm. Just to put that in perspective, the stock market risk. So, you know, if this is about 15, so this is 1/3 the risk of the stock market, but you're getting, you know, just under 19% annualized return. So that is so astronomically good. There are no words to describe. So this is something that should be celebrated. And I think that message should be brought to your members, because I think it's a very, very, very good thing. And I think that, you know, obviously it's not, it by no means has it been an average few years in the stock market. So this is not something that we can expect for many years.
All right.
But you know, hey, when things are good, let's talk about it. Let's not mince words here. This is a tremendous rate of return with very, very little risk to your members' money on the downside.
That's good. But like you said, it may not last for long. And so that's the risk we face when it's not good.
Right. But that annualized risk number, that 5.4 mm-hmm. in and of itself is still very, very low. So the risk to the portfolio is still very, very low. Even if things don't go well, mm-hmm. your portfolio is not going to feel the full ramifications or the full effect of a bad market. So yes, you're right. Things are, you know, what goes up must come down, so to speak. Things mm-hmm. don't go last forever. But you know, in the meantime, what is at risk is not a very large, it's not a very high risk number. If that 5.4 was 12 or 13, I'd say, okay, yes, you're right, Heiklis. We should probably look at reducing the risk or what have you. But this risk number is so low and it just has outsized returns. So that's a good thing. And I want to show you, if you bear with me, just, excuse me, one more slide, I think, Jess.
One quick question. What's the safety net? Is there a safety net?
I don't understand a safety net. What?
How low can it go? If is there any cap on how low it can go?
No, I mean there is no cap. But what is excuse me? How we defend against how low it could go is how much investments we have. So if you think about just, you know, numbers, for example, we talked about 30% of your overall pool is in the stock market. If the stock market has a 10% loss, you know, again, these are just general numbers, right? If the market goes down 10% mm-hmm. and you only have 30% exposure, your fund will go down 3%. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Because it's 30% exposure, 10%. So mm-hmm. let's take it one step further. You know, 2008, the big financial collapse, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was roughly a 20% loss in a calendar year. Your fund would have been down 6 just off of that. But then that's not saying, hey, you have other things, your bonds and your fixed income might take away 1 or 2% of that 6. So you might really be down like 4 when the market's down 20. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So yes, there is risk. Certainly there's risk. But at the end of the day, the goal is, hey, this is a retirement account. And that's what this is designed for. This is designed to supplement folks in retirement, which tend to be, you know, you have some years and, you know, typically the market doesn't go down every year 4 years. It's, you know, we'll have a down year and then we'll have an up couple of years and then you might have another down year. So the goal here is to cautiously make money, very conservatively make money for your members over time. And that's what's depicted right here. You can see, you know, up on the top line, your last 12 months, so the rolling fiscal year is 13.25%. That's 13.25% with only 30% of your investments invested in stocks. Mm-hmm. There's only 30%. And stocks are the things that make you, we call it the eat well portion of the portfolio. When you invest in stocks, we call that the eat well. Bonds are the sleep well. Bonds are exactly what you're talking about, Heiklis. Well, what protects us from the downside? And those are bonds. Mm-hmm. We call that like, okay, we could sleep at night. We know our money's safe. The sleep well portion, the overwhelming majority of your portfolio and all your members' portfolio is in the sleep well. But you guys are eating very well with only 30% of your portfolio in the eat well bucket. Mm-hmm. So okay. Again, I think that's something that should be celebrated and mm-hmm. talk to your members and if you look since inception, so since this account came to Raymond James, the account's up 18.6% per year. So that's an annualized rate of return. You know, that's tremendous.
Okay.
So again, you know, I think a lot of the trouble you're running into is administrative, and it has nothing to do with the board or the city, and it has nothing to do with us, it has to do with the census. I think we've fixed that and we will continue to stay on top of them mm-hmm. to make sure that, you know, again, I think a lot of it has been administrative on their end. Their change of personnel and so on and so forth. But I think all things being equal, everything has been going very well for this fund, even though there has not been formalized meetings. So now I think we're going to get back on track with our quarterly meetings now that this committee has been reestablished. Mm-hmm. And certainly, like I said to you earlier, we are happy, Wendy and I are happy to talk to your members, answer their questions, you know, explain again to them what this is and how it works and really try to make them understand. You know, there have been times in the past we've gotten some questions that, you know, your members thought, oh, we're going to the casino with their money. And it's, as you can see, that's not at all the case. You know, I think education is a big proponent of people understanding what they have and what this benefit is. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we're happy to help do that for you.
Okay. So we could book for January, the first, our first meeting in January, which is the first Wednesday. We do the meetings the first January of each month.
Okay.
So let's arrange for that.
Absolutely. And then you just let me know if it's going to be Zoom or if it's going to be in person.
Yes, I'll keep you posted on that.
Okay.
I think most likely it's going to be Zoom. I think we want to still remain safe as possible. And okay. We don't have to be in person. We don't have to be in person.
That's fine.
Yeah, that will work.
Hmm.
You said that will work fine. If members have any questions that you want to let us know of ahead of time, we're happy to address them that way too.
Yes. Well, these questions I asked today is something that you could be prepared for because this is general consensus of a number of members. Primary question is, you know, accessing their money. And I think too, look at the plan and do some review to ensure that people, if they have any kind of hardship or need to access their money for any unforeseen circumstances, they can do so. And for those who leave the union, our unit to be able to get their monies. I think those are key factors that we have to examine.
So how do we go about doing that? Obviously, we know we have to speak to the lawyers. Is there something, Lee, that we can, if we get some kind of answer, can we do like a special like phone meeting or something just to move forward? Or what's the best way to, once we get contact with Reed and Reed, what's the best way to affect the change? Or should we just wait until the next quarterly meeting and have the lawyer come? Or what do you all suggest?
Yeah. I found one contact for that law firm, but I'm not sure if that person is still there.
What was his name?
Galliette.
Yeah, that was him. Yep, Attorney Galliette. That was him.
So I don't know if he's still there. I just sent an email to see if it gets a response of any type, okay, requesting that, you know, we had some questions about changing the plan document. I think it would probably be best if he came to the next quarterly meeting, mm-hmm, so we collectively could talk to him and come up with a plan before we move forward. Okay. I believe also all of his, he would have to probably give a projection of a fee cost, because I think the fees are handled by the Board of Ed, and the Board of Ed would have to approve it anyways before it's moved we move forward with doing any of it.
Correct. Okay, good. So then HICOS, our commitment to you is that collectively we will work on getting the attorney to the next meeting and figure out what we need to do to try to address your concerns.
Your member concerns. Okay. Who's going to look into those fees that are deducted from the statement in the statements? Somebody's going to take care of that. I just want to see who's going to look into those fee deductions.
So I'm assuming what they are is investment management fees. But I do remember that those fees are supposed to have been paid by the board, I believe. I don't know that to be facts. But I believe that all fees for this fund are supposed to be paid by the board. I don't know if that's calculated on their contribution side, because like with SURF, I know that's done. Administrative expenses are calculated into their annual contribution. I don't know if that's being done and offset by their contribution or what have you. I don't know. So, you know, I'm not able to do that. I don't know if anybody else can research that.
This is a census that's charging the fees?
No, I think it's the investment management fees. So the fees that basically cost the investments, the fund expenses, I think are just reflected pro rata to all the statements.
That's a lot of money.
Well, it's really not a lot of money. It's about 0.5% per year. So it's pretty low cost considering. You know.
HICLIS, have your all your statements always had fees every year or just this year?
I'm just kind of paying closer attention, but I think it may have had it before. I think I've seen it on my statements prior. I just never understood anything about it.
I don't know. Would we have to look at the plan document and see what the fees say, or?
Yeah, I'm just going off of the top of my mind that I remember that being a one of the provisos of the plan. I don't know if it was ever. You know, I just remember like Leanna said, when Attorney Galliette came, the board paid that or any type of administrative expenses. So I don't know if they.
You mean the Board of Ed, not like this
board? The Board of Ed, not the city. Yeah, the Board of Ed paid it. I'm sorry if I said the city. The Board of Ed paid everything, you know, from plan establishment to, I know there was some revision. I think we revised the investment policy statement. You know, the Board of Ed paid for that. So anything that was done with Attorney Galliette was paid by the Board of Ed. I just don't know about investment management expenses, if that were ever paid by the board.
And the board also pays the census bills all the time.
Correct. Get them.
Correct. So the board does pay all of those fees. I don't think those are what's on the statement.
No, those are what's on the statement is definitely investment management fees. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if the board, you know, reimburses the plan in their annual contribution or not. That I don't know.
I don't know.
And if so, how do we get that done? If they're not, if they're supposed to be, right. You know? I mean, every 403B has fees, every 401A has fees that the participant pays for as well. So, I mean, it's not unheard of to have investment management fees. The whole world, I mean, SURF has fees, Police and Fire has fees. I mean, fees are a part of investing. It's just a matter of who pays them.
I think we lost Mr. Lamb, so I don't know if he can look into that to see.
Well, I think it would be in the plan documents. So I think we'll have to review the plan document on that and see what it should be in there. And then, if we find something, you know, go from there, I guess.
Okay. I don't know. Doesn't look, I'm just, you know, I just think my statement, you just looking at my personal statement, and I think from what I learned from each person, it seems to me that an average, everybody who, everybody's amount, total balance is about the number of years of service. So if somebody's there 10 years, they have maybe $10,000. Somebody there 20 years, you know, per person retired 20 years and get $22,000. It's just, you know, it just doesn't seem, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that's the case across the board, but from what I'm hearing from people, it just seems, you're shaking your head, Jessica.
Not really, because I mean, you have some, a lot of the members are making, you know, lower salaries, and some of the head start teachers are making a lot more. So it's 2% of the salary.
Mm-hmm.
So those that make more have more in there. And I mean, maybe those that have more recently been hired, mm-hmm. they might seem like they have more, because like Derek said, for all of those years that it was with the Bank of America, it wasn't making any money. Mm-hmm. So these returns like you're seeing now, where it's earning a lot over the last few years with Raymond James, mm-hmm. It hasn't always been like that. So I don't think that's a way to calculate it. It really depends on a lot of different things.
Okay. Okay. Cause that person was there a long time and retired, you know, somebody shared a personal thing with me, was like 20 years, $22,000 that I found to be low. And I'm looking at mine, you know, $2,000 above what I put in, so to speak, kind of what I'm roughing it up to say. I'm over the 14 years, I've made $2,000.
Yeah. I mean, it might work out that like for some people, but mostly, no, it's different. Like I said, it's going to be different based on their earnings over the year and mm-hmm. when they started putting money into it, how long they've been here for.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Jess, this is a supplemental plan, right? So they also, the paras also have access to a 403B?
They can, yeah. They can access a 403B if they want. They can put money in there anytime, but the board doesn't match it.
Right. Yeah. So that was another thing that, Hyquist, that we talked about at when I came to your union meetings. You know, a lot of folks are, you know, looking to save more money. And this thing caps how much money you can put away. You can only put 2%. You know, it's not a big percentage. So, you know, we'll just look at this as a supplement to your savings, perhaps. That's what, maybe if anyone can, you know, put more money away, certainly take advantage of the 403B that the board offers.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of whether or not it's matched, it's still a way to save money pre-tax and grow your money and for retirement. So this is a supplemental plan. It's not like your only retirement plan, where the folks that work for SURF and police and fire, their only retirement plan, well, actually, that's not true. They have their 401A as well, but the bulk of their retirement plan is the plan, where this is a supplement. So I think that should be considered as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Did we do a good job, Hyquist, of getting together and answering questions?
You always do a great job, Derek. Thank you.
Thank you. Glad to finally meet you, at least face to face, so virtually. And certainly, you know, as you know, Hyquist, I always pick up my phone when you call. So if you have any questions, give me a ring. We'll plan on being there on your first Wednesday of January via here or in person. And then, Leanna, today's what? I don't even know what the date is. November 10th. So 3 months from now will be February.
Mm-hmm. You're muted.
Sorry, I'm on mute. Yeah. I was just going to bring up before we closed out the meeting, potentially when you guys want it, if you wanted to do January, if you wanted to do February, March.
What do you think, Hyquist?
February would be good.
Okay.
So maybe, you know, 3 months from now we can reconvene and you know, we have, you know, obviously we have some homework, so happy to get working on that. And by the next meeting, we'll be able to have some answers for you and hopefully get a contact from Reed and Reach to the table as well.
Yeah, I have already reached out to them as we were sitting here doing the meeting. So hopefully I get a response of who there, you know, can help us at least so they can attend the next meeting. We can discuss with them what we're looking for them to do. And then I think they would have to let us know what the fee would be. And Board of Ed would have to approve it before it's moves forward.
Okay.
It's my understanding.
Cool.
All right. So before we go, who is the contact person if people have questions? You, Jessica?
With no.
I know you've been suave with us. We kill you, and we need to have.
There are questions about that termination date, have them email me, or if they call you, you want to send me a list, I will send it to a census, but I will get back to you and CC you and Derek on what a census tells me about that issue. I don't know if it's something that they're going to have to reissue everybody's statements. I hope not, but any of those questions, just, you know, tell them we're looking into it. And if somebody didn't get their statement, I mean, I would have them wait a week or two, give them mail some time to get it to them before they call me to get a copy of it sent to them. Mm-hmm. And then if they do need a copy from me in a week or two, have them email me. It's easier than calling me. Mm-hmm. Then I can just email the statement right to them. And make sure they have my email ending .gov, because a lot of times in the Board of Ed email system, it's still .net, and I don't get the emails.
Okay.
So just stress that to them.
Okay. I will send them your email address so they can copy and paste it. So in the meantime, if any other question, because at the bottom of the statement, it says, if you have any question to contact the investors, is that what it says? Something to that effect. Somebody read it to me. So who would that be?
I think it depends what their question is. I mean, if their question is like investment fund related, I mean, I don't really know if they should be contacting Derek directly, but it maybe would be stuff that would just be brought up at a union meeting and then can be relayed kind of through you maybe to get the answer for them.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like everyone just contacting Jessica. Contacting me or contacting Derek.
Mm-hmm. So I think, Leanna, that's one of the things. I think we really need to take a look at this and maybe internally, and then maybe look at making some, because again, I think it just says contact the administrator. And that's a very broad statement to make, because like you said, it depends on the question and who is the true administrator of the plan, right? So I think there's a few things we really need to work out in this plan, and maybe it is a few month process, but maybe update that plan document with the correct information with whoever this law firm is. I've never even heard of them, but whoever the law firm is.
And the Board of Ed has always been the plan administrator. So it was Will for many years. Since Will left, his replacements have not really known much about it or been able to answer any of the questions, but it's always been someone at the Board of Ed who's the plan administrator.
Right.
Should probably be Tom Lamb.
I mean, but I think what we need to do is update, and maybe it is in that plan document, because again, I haven't seen it, but maybe put by the job title of Chief Operating Officer based on whoever it is, you know, mm-hmm. at whatever time period. So we should definitely look at that.
Yep.
But we've made progress. So
can everyone, can the plan be shared with everyone on the board so that everyone can have a look at it before the next meeting, and then we could plan.
So next week I'm gonna get together with Leanna. To be very frank, this isn't the only plan that me and Leanna have talked about plan documents on. So I'm going to try to get together with Leanna next week to look at this one and a few others as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a paper copy of it. We're trying to figure out if there's an easier way to distribute it. Okay. Was there anything else that needed to be covered? I think we've touched on. Derek, was there anything further you needed?
No, I mean, unless anybody has any questions, I think we've covered a lot today. I want to be respectful of your time.
Okay.
Any other questions, comments, concerns? Praise? Come on, Hyklus. Let's go.
You know, I'll ask you if I come up with anything else. I think
it was a good year, Hyklus. It was a good year.
Yes, it does look like a good year. If it keeps up like this, then we'll be all happy. But
all right, good. So let's enjoy it while it lasts.
Definitely, as I hear from people, I will definitely call you with those questions or concerns. Okay. And then hopefully when we, I'll prepare them to have their questions ready for the next, for when you come, and I'll have them, try to organize it so it can be dealt with in a more, formal way that everybody can understand.
Okay, great. So
I really thank you for your explanation and your time and effort into giving me the information that can help me to understand and hopefully can share with others. So.
Okay. Glad to do it. I'm glad to finally meet virtually. So we will talk again.
Yes. Thank you. And thank you, Leanna and yes, Jessica. Oh, Jessica, I can't thank you enough. You've been
no problem.
Everybody, go ahead, call her. She'll call you back. She may maybe not answer, but she will call you back. She will get back. And you always do. You're a great, great, great person for the position.
Thank you.
And it's not just us, I know, but we're a handful, I know.
It's okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Okay. Mike and Hyklus, I think we need a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I will make a motion
that we adjourn.
I will second.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. So nice to meet you all. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
All right, take care. Bye. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.